and what stands in stark contrast to power's ever-forward thrustingness toward its vision is our recycling of the same old sad thoughts that pretend to counter it, this vision, generation after generation, while always stopping short of the only thing that can, the dissolution of power itself, the end of its exclusive hold on the planet, the end of its hold on us, and the end of its hold on governance. So we see that the pundits of today stopped short exactly where 20 years ago Marilyn Waring also checked the horse of her analysis, while they congratulate themselves on their hard work for the people. Where she checked her horse when it faced the unslacking, utter fierce formation of concentrated and organized power. And by their own words, we know they weren't altogether stopped by their confusion. The truth of our lives, underclass, is straightforward and simple. We are dependent, and our bodies don't like it. So the only question, the one that power so constructs the built-up world around us to discourage, if not stop altogether, from arising, is whether our dependence is derived from a necessary sequence of conditions or whether it's contrived. Virginia Woolf aptly, if class is a given, said that we are creatures of illusion. But it's more true to say that we are creatures of power's creation, as they have created the illusions of power, the illusions of wealth, the illusions of value, the illusions of market. Marilyn Waring said, quoting Joan Robinson, that, quote, value is most certainly in the eye of the beholder, unquote. But what she neglected to add or didn't fully see is that we've allowed power to substitute its eye, its definitions that construct an illusory reality for our own healthy eye of the soul, as George Eliot put it. And in the illusion, the market, read the slave market, because what is subject to aught but earth is slave, we find the chief illusion. And when once the master's eye is gone, we'll see. It is a construction of the sheerest lunacy. Bad is the world, and all will come to naught when such ill dealing must be seen in thought. That's from William Shakespeare's Richard III. And seen in thought means observed but not referred to. We all know this. And yet we don't talk about it. And I'm encouraged by these words of William because he's a deep thinking guy. And if he said, bad is the world and all will come to naught, he studied this question because he studied power. And you can't con us forever. I am but voicing what we all know. So the illusion has been seen through. When the magician's trick has dissolved to truth, we will not long continue in our fetters, as the key to the mystery of our bound hands, commodification of our common treasure, taking from us and earth and listing it for the market, removed the bindings, first from our minds, after which the rest, our wholeness, will follow. So by the simple device of a ladder, some above us, some below, and by the simple device of ranking mind work highest to solemnify our doubt of our born gifts, and by the simple device of fencing off our suppers, and by the simple device of ensuring we have leaders and are looking to our betters to provide our minds garnish, and so by the simple device of keeping us dependent on pundits for our thoughts, on power for our food, we are made creatures of power's illusions, and believe we sacrifice our gifts in the service of the good. By all of these devices, power leads us into its own state of ever-seekingness and never-soul-seeingness, caught soul-stuck in its own mindset, from which no exits are on offer, sealed up in power's tomb. So we look to the pundits and credit their guidance and let their voices stand for the silence, the loss of our body's true voice. And to serve as illustration, let's examine the layers of misdirection in the words of Robert Reich.